Hello, and welcome to the second episode of Stanima, a Survivor Panama rewatch podcast for the Survivor off-season. I'm your host, Christine Palin, and once again, this podcast is brought to you by The Bitter Jurors. If you're watching this, you're seeing this in The Bitter Jurors feed. So if you like this podcast, you know, check out The Bitter Jurors in general. Sam and Derek should be doing some Legend of Korra stuff this summer. So yeah, I'm not the only thing happening this summer, but this is a very fun thing happening this summer. So Stanima, as you're probably aware, we're rewatching Survivor Panama episode by episode and breaking it down and talking about it and having a good time. And we are here to talk about episode 2 of Survivor Panama, Breakdown. This aired on February 9th, 2006. I am joined by a really exciting guest. My guest today is now, after the incredible Eliza Orlins appeared on the finale of my Stanawatu podcast, the second Survivor player to appear on this podcast. He was a preseason favorite of mine, and I'm not just saying this because he's here, leading up to Survivor 42 because his social media presence was hilarious. And although he left his season earlier than I would have liked, his impact was massive. Please welcome to the podcast, Zach Wurtenberger.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited to be here. What an intro. And I can't believe no one better to follow Eliza, I think.
I think they're the big two, Eliza and Zach Wurtenberger.
People often like put us too as like, you know, the ones to get, and we've already done it.
We need a captain season with the two of you.
Oh yeah, that's going to go very, very well. I'm the first ever new era person, which
yes,
to me is like, you know, that's real Survivor.
Yeah, that's real Survivor. Famously, everyone agrees that's real Survivor.
What we're talking about right now, we're talking about like kind of like proto, like the alpha, you know. So it's interesting to see what kind of like how they were able to stumble into what eventually is going to become the new era.
Before we realize it's better if no one votes and there's a bunch of really confusing things happening.
Yeah. First of all, I'm so excited to be here. Thank you so much for having me. I've been a fan of yours ever since Gaze for Mike.
Oh my God. My legacy.
Yes, that was where I first became aware of you. And I always just thought that was so funny. And not to like explain the joke or anything, but I just always thought it was hysterical to imagine you like having the entire Vati tribe at your disposal. And you got Hi, you've got Lydia, you've got Chanel, you got Jenny, and looking at Mike Turner.
His father.
And being like, I want that one. It reminded me of that scene in like Lilo and Stitch.
Yes, when he's picking
that. He goes and chooses Stitch. So I just thought Gaze for Mike was hysterical, and I've been a fan ever since. And now I'm here.
Yeah, just to speak on that a bit, I do like, I definitely, part of that was the, I just thought it would be, I think it's so funny when gay people, we as gay people get to stan the most random people in Survivor. And I did feel like it was my duty to continue that tradition in the new era. And Mike ended up being really nice about it and like DMing me, and his daughter DM'd me. So it ended up being like a very...
Mike's the best.
Like, no, he's lovely. And I was like, really, I was worried he'd be a little confused. But I'm glad he understood it was like, you know, really like in good faith, and we were having a good time, and I was rooting for him. He's one of my favorite new era characters in terms of his story arc, and hope to one day get to podcast with him. Mike, if you like Panama.
You are exactly one DM away from podcasting with Mike Turner. He's very gettable.
He is an easy get. So, Zach, so I obviously know you were on the show, and I'm sure you've talked about how you got into Survivor somewhere, but it's more interesting if we just talk about it than if I look it up. So what is your Survivor story? How did you get into it? And then also, how does Panama fit into this with you? Is this a show, a season you watched, you know, when you first watch it? Like, you know, we had a guest last week who has never finished it.
Who was the guest last episode?
I had a bunch of friends from Toronto who do live watch party there, and they do some live reality games called Game Camp. So those are some friends of mine. Yeah.
I mean, my story with Survivor is it's not even a story, because it's literally just my mom and dad were watching it from season one, and I was born in 2000. So I was just always there watching, and then I never stopped. And there was like just a very constant thing in my life. So yeah, I've just been literally watching my entire life from beginning to end. And thank God I'm still a fan of it, because I would have been there's a lot of like real estate up in my head of like Survivor facts that if I had like truly been burned by the show would now be completely useless. But as for Panama, I watched it live, but I was also like six. So I did not have any recollection of it like in the live airing. The first season I ever have memories watching live was Fiji. So I was very close right there. And then I just ended up with Panama. I obviously, you know, knew what happened. And eventually I ended up going back and rewatching it with like a fresh set of eyes, like actually being able to understand it. And yeah, but then I haven't really rewatched it since then until this episode right now.
So okay, cool.
Fun to revisit.
Yeah, Panama's a season I don't have a bunch of like memories of. I remember watching a couple seasons before it, and I vaguely remember watching it. But this was a season I revisited once COVID hit. And it was like I almost watched it for the first time, because I was just, especially when I was young watching it, I'm sure I didn't pick up on all the really crazy like interpersonal things that happened in the season, even just in this episode, the like Shane and Courtney and Danielle of it all. It's just such a wonderful season to revisit as an adult, because you really realize how crazy these people are.
Yeah, I think it's it's definitely, this is a character season over a strategy season, 100%. And I think that it works because of the characters.
And we get this episode, we get it's not a spoiler to say that Kasaya is considered one of the greatest, most iconic tribes of all time, because it is already evident in this episode. Just this first, what should be an easy vote, is so needlessly complicated because of this like clash of personalities that instantly happens.
Yeah, I am so, when I got to like look at what episodes to choose, I basically just wanted to make sure that I got one where Kasaya went to tribal, because it's really a tale of two tribes in this season, with Kasaya being so interesting. And then there is another tribe as well.
They're there. Yeah. They're losing a spear.
And we'll get into for like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
The other thing that I'm interested in going, like revisiting this, because this is the first time in a while that I've watched like true, like old school Survivor, is I really want to, like, as we're going through this, do a little bit of a comparison between old school and new era, and talk about what are the things, like, as we're going through, like, the different things that they have that, like, the new era no longer has. What are the things that, like, the show is truly missing nowadays? And, like, what are the things that, you know, we kind of don't actually need, and kind of, like, maybe are a little bit better now that we've, like, either sped them up or just got rid of them in the first place?
Yeah, and this is the most interesting era of Survivor to do that in, because I talked about last week, this was like such an era of experimentation where they were, you know, post All-Stars, they were like, okay, what is Survivor? Like, because they rewrote what Survivor could be the second they had returnees, because the idea was, you know, before that, it was all these strangers who'd never played before, and then you have All-Stars, and that really, for better or worse, shook things up, you know, very tumultuous season. And then now you have this era like Guatemala with the captains, and then now this and the introduction of the idol and an exile island. This is really, they're like, okay, we're currently in an era of experimentation with the new era. In the same way, you know, post All-Stars, like we are with post Winners at War, like, okay, what is the show now? So that is a really great comparison to make, because the show is in kind of similar places.
Yeah, and I think that something that comes with me being, like, right, a lifelong Survivor fan who's been there, like, beginning to end, is I've seen these conversations of how, like, the show has destroyed itself over the past 20 years. And obviously I have many criticisms of what they do in the new era, but I also had criticisms of what they were doing in like the 30s. And I also
in the 20s.
What they were doing in the 20s. And I also had criticisms of what they were doing in the 10s. So, like, the show is always growing, always changing, and I'm really kind of curious to look at, like, what are the things from this old school Survivor that really the show should be bringing back? The new era is missing. And, like, what are those things that we can pinpoint? Like, that's what the new era is missing. And then also, like, what are the things that the new era has that, like, you know, are making it, like, kind of that are good changes.
Yeah, exactly. Because the show has grown in positive ways as well. And it's easy now to point out the things we don't like about the new era. But the show has come so far. There's so much history and so much trial and error. We have to recognize those things as well. One of the things we have this season is the Previously On, and this Previously On was so long.
That was the first thing I was going to say. So my first note I have, and this is why I like wanted to get into it, with that start, was 3-minute intro. It's 3 minutes of just Previously On into the title sequence. That's too long.
And it was a 40-minute premiere. It wasn't like a double premiere. It was a normal length premiere, like 3 minutes. And Jeff makes sure to get in his jab of like, when the oldest women voted out their strongest member. He's like so mad they voted out Tina Shear. We talk about like, it kind of like Heroes versus Villains, the one recap where he's really mad they voted.
You're right.
Yeah, like was it when they voted Rob out?
Russell let his greed get the better.
And so we talk about that's kind of when Jeff starts to become less and less objective. But already here, he's clearly quite upset that they cut out Tina Shear, and he's showing it in the recap.
Oh, yeah. And then I also think that like the preview is all dedicated to the tribe dynamics that literally do not matter.
That's so true.
He's going tribe by tribe through like on the older men tribe. The workhorse mentality resulted in the best shelter of the group. Or Shane, but Dan's alliance with Terry, and it's like, what? Like, that's not, you don't need that.
Jeff, you know we're swapping tribes.
I really, which, by the way, it was great for me, because I, like, actually needed the preview.
Yeah. Having watched the episode. Thought of you.
I was like, this is actually very helpful, but in, like, the existence of the show itself, I mean, this is also, remember, like, you know, fans who joined, like, in the, like COVID, whatever, like the new fans don't remember like the preview episodes or like just the, you know, what you missed the past 19 days or whatever.
Yeah.
These sucked.
It was just like, here's what it was. And here's a couple scenes you haven't seen before, but that's it.
Right. Like that was something that always sucked. This is something. The intro was so long and took up so much space that I would like have rather just had an advantage. Like if there was 3 minutes of them like hunting for an idol, that's better than like what we already watched.
Or at least show us more of Kasaya. There was so much going on at Kasaya. I kept like, all I could think of watching those 3 minutes was just like, God, this is like 3 minutes we could have had, like at least knowing who Lamina was to begin with, or at least like getting more of what the interesting stuff was, which was Kasaya.
I also feel that way about, and this is like such a random tangent, but I also feel this way about finales in the old school. I feel like the finales on Old School Survivor are so drawn out and so hard to watch because it's like you got the, what is it called? Rites
of Passage? Oh, you're anti-Rites of Passage?
Yeah, I'm so anti-Rites of Passage. There's a couple good ones, but like, you know, we don't need at the very end of the season for them to be like, Melinda. Oh, Melinda.
I'll miss your anecdotes. I looked up like all the like voting confessionals and Courtney says, I'll miss your anecdotes. Like so. Which seems like such a random, like, she was just thinking of something to say next about Melinda.
Yeah, like, it's just, you know, they really sometimes are begging, like, for things to fill the space, I think.
My favorite, rites of passage is in Palau when Tom and Ian aren't speaking to each other. Like, they're really mad at each other, and it's just, like, Katie, who's already very mean, like, trying to, like, keep it going. That's the one I, like, really distinctly remember. I mean, I rewatched Palau relatively recently. But it's something I think I remember watching Survivor as a kid and loving Rites of Passage because it's like, oh, I remember all those people. We've been watching live. It's been weeks. But it's one of those things when you rewatch and you're not watching live, it's like, I skip it every time.
It works when it's like, when it's Fair Play, Sandra, and Lil. Like, that's a great Rites of Passage because they're going to have interesting stuff to say. That's probably my favorite moment when Fair Play, I forget who he's even talking about, when he was, like, just wicked hot. That was great. And then also when they just cut to Austin's torch on the
Yes!
Because they needed that final dig of, like, he doesn't get the right.
Yeah.
Rites of Passage.
I fucking hate that guy for getting sick.
Right.
That's been interesting to revisit as I've been rewatching these seasons. I remember these things as being like, oh, we need to bring these things back. And then it's nostalgia, and I'm glad they did it. because it is, there have been some fun moments, but I don't miss it. It's one of the things I do not miss in the new era.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You don't notice its absence.
And I'm not a hater. I love old school Survivor. I absolutely love it. I just don't think that it's unblemished.
No, exactly.
I think that there are some changes they've made over the past 20 seasons or so that like have helped the show. Mm-hmm. And then there's some that definitely have hurt it.
So once we finally get through the 3-minute recap, yeah,
we have to spend like 7 minutes on the 3-minute recap.
Yeah, to be fair to the show, we have to spend at least 7 minutes on it. And then this is so old school Survivor though, this like montage of just the elements and the rain and how much people's shelter sucks. It's not particularly interesting in terms of like character and stuff. I did like the scene of like the older women trying to get the fire started. Much as like Ruth Marie isn't a smasher, Melinda is a hammerer. She tries to hammer the flint, but it does not work out. But this is also feels so old school. This just kind of like, here's, see how they suffer.
Right. No, and I thought that was very smart. Very smart for Ceree to not show fire making skills, because when the forced fire for final fire making is going to come up,
she's thinking way ahead. She's
thinking way ahead. Yeah, yeah. You know, you don't want to show yourself in these old era seasons as the fire making threat.
Because they'll remember that, and then in
oh yeah,
40,
yeah,
30 something seasons when you return, right, for the new era.
you know that like when Carson comes back, he's gonna have like a dossier on that stuff.
Oh my god, Carson, yeah.
He'll have every scene of like their fire making abilities. He'll be ready.
Yeah, everyone who's ever practiced, even touched a piece of flint.
Yeah, exactly.
There's this piece of music that occurs in Old School Survivor. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but it appears here when the younger women are like eating papaya. I can only describe it as like jolly pirate music.
Yeah.
They need to bring that back. I'm going to say it. Yeah. That needs to come back. That specific piece of music. And then the one like sad plunky piano one, the like doo, doo, mm-hmm. doo. Those ones, like that, I do require those to come back.
The music, yeah. I think that the music, the design, that's something that I really miss. I love that this season, because it's Exile Island, that they build so much into like the skull, the island. Like, it's very cool, and it makes it very distinct and very memorable. I think it's a great logo as well. It looks like you're in like the pits of hell. I always feel bad for like the country of Panama in general. Because they really made it seem like rather inhospitable with like the focus on like exile. And
one of my guests last week actually mentioned, I didn't know this, but Ronnie was pretty sure, I don't want to quote them on this because I think they didn't have the source, but they had mentioned that they had heard that this season was like inspired by like Haitian voodoo, which is weird because we're not in Haiti.
Well, you can see that with the
all the shrunken heads and the zombies.
That can't be okay.
Yeah, it's weird. This is something, if we're getting into things we're glad have changed, I'm glad some of, like, Survivor, this came up in Vanuatu, when we were talking about Vanuatu last summer. Mm-hmm. Survivor's interactions with, like, local culture have always been very dicey, and the way they try to incorporate that into themes. And so I wish some of the new school seasons did have themes, but I'm glad we've leaned away quite a bit mm-hmm. from these kind of themes that try to make commentaries on, like, the local peoples, because it just always...
You know, it's one of those things that's tough, because it's obviously, like, been made over the past 20 years. I think that I'm expecting that in some point, let's say Survivor goes on for the next like 20, 30 years, right? I mean, even like just the fact that we're divided into tribes.
Yeah.
Like that's something that I'm sure is not going to like no one's, I don't want to be the one who's like calling that out right now. Like I'm not canceling you, Survivor. Like I just feel like at some point that's not going to be okay either. Like, and the whole, there's a great stand-up bit from someone that like was basically saying like Survivor is the reason why the rest of the world hates America, because we basically like just take Americans, put them in a different country, and we're like, that's a game for us to see if it's possible.
No, like my friend, 30 days. My friend Audrey, who is on Stanuatu and who might be appearing on Stanima, who knows, but she's uh-huh. someone who didn't watch Survivor at all growing up, and I've gotten her into it. And that was the first thing kind of she encountered was like, she's like, this is so weird. And we had to kind of talk about it. And she's like, I'm down with the show and she loves it now. But that's always something kind of we had to talk about when she was first watching. Cause it's just like, yeah, it is just this like weird thing. We all have to accept that this is the language of the show and this is like the presentation of it. But I think, you know, sometimes sort of fans get so defensive of like, well, you know, like about worried we're going to like cancel tribes or cancel, you know, like the idea. But no, it's just like interesting to like examine of like, why did America find it very interesting to send a bunch of Americans to a quote unquote like savage place and pretend that it's so like that they're surviving there, you know, or like, you know, in the old school seasons, it was hard. But
if you have a problem with like just the pure discussion of like, oh, it's interesting to look at this and compare it, like, then just watch season one and just really be like, how much of what was okay in 2000 is okay now? Like, it's very stark. And, you know, not to say, like remove season one. Like, it should never be aired or anything. Or, like, they need to, like, re-edit it. It's just, like, it's interesting. I like kind of looking at Survivor as a historical artifact where you're able to kind of, like, see what the times were at the time it was being aired.
Yeah, like if the game is a microcosm of society, the show is a reflection of the show, produced show itself is a reflection of like predominant like American popular culture at the time it came out. And that's like, if we're able to recognize what the way the game functions, we can also recognize the way the show functions.
Yeah, I've always been a bigger fan of Survivor the show versus Survivor the game.
Yeah, same.
I think that my favorite seasons aren't the ones that are the most strategically intense. They're the ones that are the most funny, the most interesting, have the most interesting arcs of like characters and all of that.
Yeah, that's why Vanuatu is my absolute favorite. Just so you look at the character arcs there, and it's not the most exciting gameplay, but it's just you look at the character arcs, the fights, the way people interact with each other. Yeah, that's for me. What would you say your favorite season of Survivor is? If you had if you don't have to pick one, but give me an idea.
My true favorites are the boring like heroes villains. Like, I mean, those are objectively the best. But my biggest hot take season is South Pacific.
Oh, okay. I am not like number one, but I will defend that season as a very interesting season of television.
I think it gets buried between 22 and 24, which are legitimately so bad. And I understand why people wouldn't like South Pacific. Like, it has problems. Like, it is a pagonging. It is dominated by like three or four characters who get like all of the screen time. It is Redemption Island. But one, I find the characters that they do focus on to be genuinely so interesting and like have some of the coolest arcs in the franchise's history, especially the returning players.
Mm.
I also think that it's really funny and people forget how funny that season is and it has big moves in it. It has big moments. It's like, it just has everything. And I'm also not bothered by like the religious manipulation that's happening in that season.
It's interesting.
I think it's so interesting. Like when they're praying to find an idol that's already been found, like the implications of that, I think are just so, so like no other season has that. Which is why I think that that's my like hottest take of like a top 10 season.
No, that's a good take. Yeah, it's not a. I need to rewatch it because that's not a season I hold like dear to my heart as like a season I, you know, I just have only watched it once. But it's one I think people just write off because they're like, oh, well, the gameplay's not interesting. It's like, okay, yeah, maybe the gameplay. There's a couple. You know, you said some big moments, but that's not a season about gameplay.
If people are complaining about how the new era juries are too nice and too friendly, and Final Tribal is too fun, watch South Pacific. You will get your fill of like genuine hatred.
And finalists going after each other.
And like tears and breakdowns. I mean, that is the top tier, like nasty, bitter Final Tribal.
Absolutely. Okay, I'm glad I know this about you. That's a great take because like mine is Vanuatu. I feel like everyone has that season.
Yeah.
Like Gia Worthy's is Fiji, mine is Vanuatu. Yours is South Pacific, and it's important, like, you know, we all have the ones we recognize as the objective, quote-unquote objective, great seasons, heroes versus villains, but everyone needs their one that they'll like.
What's your one, like, actually this season sucks? Mine is also a very hot take that'll probably get me canceled.
Ooh, I can't wait. It's not so much I think it sucks, I think it's overrated. I think Blood versus Water is overrated. It's like, I guess that would maybe be my hot take. But like, I mean, I've never been able to like really sit through Thailand. That's not a hot take. That's not a hot take. So that's why I try to pick one that's like, right. I don't hate Blood versus Water, but I will. Oh, Cambodia. I will also be like, I don't hate it, but that's one I'll be like, is overrated.
Okay.
Okay. What's yours?
Mine. I think the Cook Islands is not good. I really think that like the arc of it is great. Like if you just look at it on paper, it's an amazing Wikipedia season. And it has some of like the most legendary players of all time. But when you just look at like the episode to episode of like what is going on in the season, it's the longest pre-merge ever.
Yeah.
It was a very hard watch on a rewatch when I like knew what was going to happen versus like the first watch. I actually think it's like one of the least funny seasons with like three exceptions. It is the Billy Candace stuff is great. The Becky, fire making, that's great. And then Penner's great. And Penner is pretty funny through it. But other than that, it's like a comedy, just the cemetery of Survivor.
All right. Thus concludes the hot take segment. Maybe we will reopen it later in the episode if we have more hot takes. So, Shane, the big thing that happens at the start of this episode, though, is Shane kind of starting to lose it a bit, like in a real way. And like, Shane is funny, but he's clearly having a hard time missing his son. He goes, the Shane's like emotional roller coaster this episode. Sorry he was struggling, but it's very funny.
Oh, yeah. And like, first of all, in the new era, we would have launched into the Shane package here.
Yeah. So we would have been like, here's his son, Boston.
I was like literally imagining like as the music was playing for them to like do that like fire flash into like him and his son. Like instead we get Shane's package later on in the season.
Yeah. Like calling him, he says ADD psycho boy about himself. Like that's the content we get.
Yeah. So I really liked, I mean, I think Shane is an incredible character and like probably the most memorable thing about this season to me. And yeah, this is really just the start of it. I also noticed Misty's mosquito bites were so bad.
Yeah. And what, did that happen on Exile? Maybe it must have. Like, I didn't see anyone else that bitten up.
Exile does look a little bit buggy, actually.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And if she doesn't have a fire, like, the fire is what keeps the mosquitoes away. So, like, if she doesn't have a fire, it's probably, that probably is what it is.
Yeah. Poor Missile Misty.
Oh, my God, yeah.
So, this swap. Is like the Jeff having them stand on discs.
Mm-hmm.
We just like stand on the discs. It's just like, I miss like the old, like we don't even really do swaps anymore, but I miss like the different ways they would do it. Like stand on the different height of sticks.
Yeah.
Like here, just grab one out of the, you truly never knew what to expect with a swap.
That is one of the biggest lessons that I think modern day Survivor could take is like, it wasn't that they were doing all of these new things, like the swap was established at this point, but they would at least be like mixing it up in the way that they did it. Like this swap, it was a school. Yeah. And when like this swap was a schoolyard pick. Okay. That's great. That's fun. Like not every swap has to be a schoolyard pick, but it'd be fun if some were and like you didn't know. And then other ones, maybe it's like, you know, an individual challenge and the whoever wins the challenge gets like, you know, to kind of, that would actually be stupid because then they would just totally rig it. But maybe it's like whoever wins the challenge, they get to be the two that do the schoolyard pick. There's so many different ways to do a swap. And I guess that 44 actually did kind of do a swap their own way this time.
Yeah.
I also hated that.
Yeah, that was, they did the swap in like the way to, that would make me so mad. It's like, we've been begging for like, do a swap again. And they did it in like a way that like made me so mad.
Yeah, but like I love, for instance, and we talk about Cook Islands, I love mutinies. I think mutinies are fun. If you're in a bad spot in your tribe, you can leave. Like, that stuff's cool. And I loved this in this episode. Although I can't help but feel so bad for Timbertina,
no, I just, like, God, she, like, I made fun of Jeff, like, being, clearly being biased and, like, being sad she left. But it is really sad she left. Like, it's, there were, that tribe was like, just so small, but, like, right. God.
Yeah, and also, like, having a one tribal and then going into the real tribes, like they couldn't have just started with that.
This is a weird thing of Panama, them doing this as like part of the theme, like being like, yeah, we're doing divided by genders and ages. And it is kind of fun. Like it is fun that was kind of a fake out, that it's like, no, actually we're not. That doesn't matter at all. That was just kind of for fun. But it really did make it not unfair, but really brutal for that tribe that did go to the first tribal, because a four-person tribal is insane.
There's no room to play. I mean, there really isn't.
And just to know that if you had won one challenge, you would have been able to swap to like a bigger tribe and had more of a chance. Like, that's really tough.
Yeah, and it's also like, I mean, it was fine because it was only one episode, but if they had kept it longer, like, the whole idea of Survivor is just to see, like, different people from different walks of life come together, and that's not happening in episode one, but then it does this episode, so who cares?
In a big way, because we get this incredible tribe. So as we mentioned, Kisaya is, like, one of the most iconic tribes ever, and the fact that they are created by a schoolyard pick is so interesting to me. Like, this is one of the most, iconic Survivor tribes, messiest Survivor tribes ever, was they pick themselves. Like, the show literally couldn't write that. I love seasons and moments of Survivor where it's like they couldn't like produce it better than the players produced it themselves.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, this group is like actual TNT. Like, it is a powder keg that will blow up just throughout the season. And I think it's wild to me. And I'm really curious to find out why Shane was the first pick.
That's really interesting. Well, because Danielle said it's just because he has the Boston tattoo and she's from Boston. So maybe it is, which is funny because that's, he's not from Boston. It's just his son's name. Yeah. So it's like, so I want to know why Shane picked Courtney. Like, what about her screamed?
That actually makes sense to me because I think Shane is kind of like, I mean, in like full retrospect, it's funny, but in like,
because already this episode they're yelling at each other.
Yeah, like Shane is kind of like he's a little bit of an alternative guy. He sees Courtney as like clearly the alternative girl.
That makes sense.
Yeah, and he's thinking, and clearly like he wanted to work with her from the get-go based on the fact that like he loops her and Danielle into an alliance pretty immediately. But I really think he probably looked at her and was like, this is someone who has the same sensibilities as me. And was like the most likely person who's going to get down with everything that Shane brings.
As she says later, she is from gangster Hollywood, man.
I did love that Courtney's first experience with Shane is her talking about her apartment.
Yes, yeah. So we'll want to put a pin in that because that is going to be very interesting. That's so true. I didn't think about that. That's incredibly funny.
That's the fun like of rewatching these seasons.
Yes, yes, exactly. That either. A lot of things, yeah. I would say Vanuatu seasons where little things pay off later on, and I would also say Panama is a season where little things pay off later on. But yeah, Ruth Marie gets the last pick to pick the last tribe member. She chooses that young man right here, Dan mm-hmm. astronaut Dan Barry, and that leaves Bruce, and he's like fully, you know, prepared to fight for his life, and he actually just gets to go to exile for 3 days.
Jeff decides to still pull off like the, if this is it for you, Bruce, what is this?
Yeah, that's so brutal.
And Bruce is like, yeah, that would suck.
Yeah.
That would be really bad.
Like, he's thinking he just got Wanda shirked and like it's over for him.
They do the same thing in Token Teens.
Yeah, yeah, and where they make them think that it's over. Yeah.
And also Kageon. They love doing that. And like, other than Blood versus Water, where they literally said that like you will be going to Redemption Island, it's never actually like paid off of the person being eliminated.
Yeah, when they like actually do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Bruce gets to be safe, and as we see at the end of the episode, he gets to join Kisaya, our last wacky member.
And he did say, by the way, he was like, my own tribe. And I think that would have been really funny.
Yeah, imagine just Bruce, everyone fighting Bruce, and like he just like dominates them.
And then the moment Bruce loses a challenge by himself, he's eliminated by default.
Do you have any interest in talking about the challenges? Because we can talk about the reward challenge if you had anything to say.
I want to talk about the challenges just in the pure sense of how boring this was.
Yeah.
I found
the reward
challenge.
It wasn't even that big of a snake.
There was nothing here. And the old school like insistence on every episode having, or most episodes having, an immunity and a reward, I think was also another like thing that I was not a fan of in old school Survivor. I think it's better now that like it'll be two or three episodes a season. Like, I like reward challenges in moderation. But with the caveat being that I find the rewards in old school Survivor to be much more interesting than the Survivor Sanctuary,
where good things happen.
Yeah, exactly.
If you had gotten to go to the sanctuary, maybe your mind would be changed.
Oh, yeah, exactly. I can't imagine what that would have been like.
Just to go sit in a little hut.
Which time I went, would I have gotten to eat tacos at the Survivor Sanctuary, or would I have gotten to eat peanut butter and jelly at the Survivor Sanctuary? Or there's so many things that can happen.
And they are all good.
All good.
Yeah, this challenge, I definitely like, this is another thing people bring up a lot. Like, oh, I wish they would do more reward challenges. And it's like, no, you don't. Like, challenges take up so much time in the episode. And if they're not fun and well-designed, it's just dead air. Like, this challenge is more or less dead air to me. I watched this episode twice and
I feel like it's hard for new fans who don't know what they're going into, because there are like some reward challenges that are obviously iconic that like you need to watch or you're like going to be missing out on like some gold. But like I only know that because I'm rewatching seasons at this point. I know the ones I can skip and I know the ones I have to watch. And if you're just like a new fan watching for the first time, you really don't. So either you have to like risk missing some great stuff or just sit through like 3 or 4 minutes of like blech. That being said, the new era is just the journey. It's like that's basically what replaced the, and I would say that those are equally bad. It's kind of like same issue, new problem.
Well, it's like it could be done well. Like you can have interesting, fun reward challenges, and there is an iteration of the journey that could be interesting and fun if it's like character focused and like social focused. But as it is right now, it's just kind of like going through the motions, which is kind of what this reward challenge feels like too, I think. Just
I would love a journey that like they all come together and they're like, all right, we have to choose like one tribe is getting an advantage, one tribe is getting a disadvantage of like whatever. We have to figure that out. And it's like a vote. Like that would be cool.
Yeah. Not to talk about Survivor Quebec, but Survivor Quebec, I'm a little behind, but early on in the season, they did a variation of the journey where it was just like one person from each tribe of the two tribes met up, and you're like expecting it to be like, oh god, like New School Survivor, like they're just gonna like pick something out of a hat or like whatever. And it was mostly just talking. They just exchanged information, and then they had to mutually make a decision. One of them gets a clue to the idol because the idols were actually well hidden, it was hard to find. Mm-hmm. And then one of them gets to bring back a bag of rice, and they had to decide, you know, who's gonna bring what, exchange information to determine who needs that idol clue more.
Anything that's choice is good.
Yeah, and it wasn't forced choice, and it was something two people, it was cross-tribal interactions. They had to, it was actually really, really interesting. And that's what I think everyone was hoping these journeys would be in the new era. And it's just ended up being like, here you go on your separate paths and you have to pick something.
At least 44 has fixed it a little bit by making them different. Like you don't know what the journey is going to be. Where I always think of like the 43 premiere of like Dwight coming back. And like literally it's the same exact thing that they just watched in 41 and 42. And like basically having no room to play because everyone in his tribe already knows what the journey is going to be. And like that stuff is stupid. Sorry, we're getting so into the new era.
I know. No, I mean, if people see who's on the episode and like know me, like I just, and the Bitter Jurors were always talking about like New School Survivor and things we like and don't like. So like this was inevitably going to come up.
Yeah. And look, this is Survivor Panama episode 2, right? Like this is not one of the legendary episodes of Survivor. And I find it just most interesting comparing an average episode of what we used to have to like an average episode of what we have now.
Absolutely. Like it's because Survivor's in constant Survivor now, like modern Survivor, so constantly in conversation with its own legacy about like the fans and like past iconic challenges we're bringing back and returning players. It's like we have to like have that conversation too when we are and living through this era and revisiting an old season.
And I think there was real merit to like this old school and like how fun it was to just have new stuff constantly. And the new stuff not just be like a new advantage, but the new stuff be like a new challenge, a new way of dividing tribes, a new twist like Exile Island, for instance, like the big season-long one that doesn't destroy the game. So that's the stuff that I think is most missing nowadays.
Yeah, absolutely. I would agree. We are really lacking in this attempt to like really change up the game and in the way they think they're changing it up with...
Yeah.
in the new era, it's become more stagnant in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
because we're not throwing these new things
every season.
Yeah,
exactly. Like Sweat for Savvy. Why is that four seasons in a row?
No, change
Why
it up.
Why not do a new thing each time? Like a new little opening thing.
Right? It wouldn't be that hard to come up with like one little new thing. Like
that's what they did in like the 30s. They would have like two people have to go and do like the neutral box. Or then the Millennials versus Gen X. They had like a little division thing, remember? Where it was like you had to choose chickens or fishing gear. You had to choose like or like and then you got the classic like just marooning that you would do some seasons. Versus now it's the same thing every time. It's so weird for like a show that keeps trying to like say how much they've changed and like reinvent itself.
And for a show that used to go to different countries like twice a year, like it's really jarring to watch New Era Survivor and hear like Jeff talk about how much they're changing things up and how experimental they're being. And then you watch this era of Survivor and it's like, no, they were going to a different country literally every season and completely changing the theme. And throwing, tweaking these idols and rules and, you know, before we had advantages.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. All right. Glad we're on the same page.
Yeah.
I figured we were going to be of the same mind on a lot of things. So Lamina does win. We do have to mention Lamina, they win this challenge. Good for them. Yeah. It gives them something to do this episode because they don't have much. Mm-hmm. There's not much going on this episode with Lamina.
No.
But they win the fishing gear and some other stuff. Oh, spear, bait, and a raft. And then we get to see these two tribes interact. And Kasaya is, again, instantly so funny. Mm-hmm. So Sari, I love Sari being like, this sucks. She says, Danielle, she's okay. and that's like all she has to say. And like Courtney, she's already done with Courtney. Courtney's talking about she's from Gangster Hollywood Man. Yeah. Sari in this episode looks at the camera twice within like 2 minutes. That's how you know this is going to be a good time.
She's so good. She's so already like a natural confessionalist. Like within like, because some people it takes like a moment for them to like warm up to it. But Sari is like firing from episode 2.
Oh, absolutely. Like in this episode alone, I wrote down so many like little things she says and little moments. She's just so charismatic and so funny. And in this, like, she's obviously very worried she could be going here,
mm-hmm.
but has this humor about it and is able to identify these things and know that these are potential weak points. That these are potential problems, but yeah.
Oh, wait, can I say like probably my hottest take from when I was a child? When I was a child, do you know who my least favorite player of all time was?
Was it Sari?
It was Sari. Let me explain. Don't cancel me. Why did I hate Sari so much? Okay. So remember, I had been watching this show when I was a kid. The first season that I truly remembered watching was Survivor Fiji. Truly remembered. So do you know who my favorite player of all time was? Of all time.
Yao Man.
Yao Man was, to me, the greatest survivor that had ever played. And I still love him. But like, little me, I was hysterical watching the Fiji final. And when Dreams goes back on his word, that was like, he was the greatest villain of all time to me. I was like, when they bring Dreams back, I hope he's out first. So then Yao Man, I find out, is coming back. And I am so excited.
Like,
I've never in my life. I didn't root for me as much as I rooted for Yao Man on Fans Favorites. And then episode 3, it comes down to Sari as the person who has to make the decision on whether she keeps my favorite player of all time. Or, like, who was the other option?
Was it not Eliza?
No, it wasn't. It wouldn't have been Eliza because Eliza was with Yao Man.
Oh, yeah, no. Hold on. I might have been Parvati. Hold on. I'm going to fact check this. Oh, no. Parvati got 2 votes. Sari got 1 vote. Yeah. So it was this. They were they switched targets a bunch. That was it. They switched a bunch of targets.
So it would have been Parvati, which at the time, it was like, who cares?
You're like, who? That girl from Cook Islands?
Yao Man or Parvati? Like,
who is she?
Who is she? I literally didn't know. I didn't remember her season. So I was just so outraged, and I remember watching all of Micronesia just praying for Sari's downfall. But now I've matured.
You've matured.
Now I understand
her as a player, that she was doing what she had to do.
She's amazing. We stan traitors. She's amazing. But yeah, in the live watching, I was Ceri's biggest ops.
Have you talked about this anywhere else? Is this an exclusive scoop?
I definitely have not talked
about this. Wow, exclusive. Wow, this is exciting.
Yeah.
I'm going to make a clickbait title for this, like when I tweet this.
Oh, no, you know what? If you do that, I'm genuinely going to get show me the clickbait title first, because there's going to actually be there's going to be at least five hate tweets sent my way.
It'll be what beloved Survivor player did Zach Wurtenberger wish to down? I don't know. I'll workshop it. It'll be vague. You won't get the haters until they listen to it.
Give me the rough draft.
Before I will. It's sent back. I'll get your approval
myself, and I can be ready to mute it.
Sounds good. Yeah. So, oh my god, that reveal is crazy. Wow. I feel that's
it's so funny how these these little moments of voting out Yao Man, which nowadays it's people don't even remember that Yao Man was on
by Kunisha. Yeah.
People just don't remember that. Mm-hmm. But watching it live, the hype, the moment. Yeah. There's also Fair Play, I was so excited to see. So that was a really rough
season. That was a rough season for you.
Yeah. And Penner too. But yeah, so it's funny, the live watching versus the people who are just rewatching it all. You do miss a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. And also the Survivors kids latch on too. It's hard. Rupert mania, Yao Man mania was for sure a thing. And it's
James was a big one.
I love James. I absolutely love James. James and Amanda. Mm-hmm. I loved Amanda too, which is very funny. I still like Amanda, but I love going into my Carnegie. I was most excited about Amanda and James, and now it's mm-hmm. I still like them as characters, but that is not who I'm most excited about when I rewatch.
Yeah, exactly.
So we do get some great moments from Ceri here. Melinda and Ceri know they're on the outs. And this Shane, Courtney, Danielle, and Aris alliance forms pretty quickly. And it will immediately implode in about 10 minutes.
Well, I think that Shane actually, he's not remembered as a strategic powerhouse or anything. This is him very effectively immediately in old school Survivor, where people are so likely to just stick to what they know. He instantly picks three people, is we're the alliance, and just like that, he's in the majority.
Yeah.
And he outplays Ceri here.
And he tries to get, he should have gone here. He wanted to go and then changed his mind. That is not something you do on Survivor. Because on a normal, with a normal group of people, the people would have just been let's just get rid of the guy asking to go.
Yeah.
And then it turns into this whole messy thing, and we'll talk about that in a minute with Aris and everything.
Oh, yeah.
But he does survive, and he really, I was watching this, God, he had no business sticking around here after he just went from we're gonna win, we're the best, and then immediately being I'm out, you guys, bye. His alliance should have dumped him, and they didn't.
He's very much the Bart Simpson meme. You know what I'm talking about? I am so great, I am so great.
Yeah.
And then just him kind of cuddled up in his bed, sad.
I do love how the instant he loses, he's all right, I'm out of here. It's I do admire that, because that is relatable.
I think that in modern day Survivor, if there was a player like that, I do still think there's a world where the same thing happens. Of his alliance members are no, you're not going. We need you at this vote. And also thinking of it kind of from a perspective of how Rob Cesarino looked at Jenna and Heidi, of why would I vote out Jenna? She wants to quit. I can vote out Heidi here. And then Jenna will quit, and it's a 2-for-1.
That didn't work out too well for him, but his logic was good. But no, there is a scenario, but almost for different reasons, people thinking even further, than I think. Because at this point, I think they're maybe thinking more just we need to get through this tribe phase. We need to have these numbers to get to the merge. Whereas if this happened in modern, it would be thinking more oh, this person could be a goat to take to the end if they're gonna just sit around and be sad.
Actually, I did think this felt pretty reminiscent of something recent, and then I just realized I'm thinking about Big Brother, where this happens every other season.
Yeah. I do not have the curse of watching Big Brother, so.
Oh yeah.
I'm free from that. I've tried. I can't.
The issue with Big Brother is that the first episode of the season is always the worst episode of the season. So, like, I always tell people, like, don't even watch the first one. It's a lot.
All right. Maybe BB25. I'll just not watch the first one and then get it on the rest. I watch Big Brother on Twitter. That's how I watch it.
I think BB25 is going to be good. I'm crossing my fingers.
Okay.
I think we're due for one.
You heard it here first. BB25 is going to be good. We're due for a good one.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have to talk about Lamina, even though they're boring. There is some funny stuff here, but basically the gist is that...
Very generous of you.
I feel bad for Sally. It's quite funny that she loses the spear. The big thing is Dan and Terry make it like a gentleman's agreement not to vote each other out. And they're like, let's get the dudes together. And they go to Nick and Austin. What's funny here is that Nick and Austin somehow end up as like the swings, which I just like, they're... Who is Nick? Like, he's the most uncharismatic man I've ever seen in my life. And he's somehow, like, everyone wants to work with him.
Anybody who ever says the words Survivor, New Era Survivor is less diverse than ever, like, needs to be forced to sit down, Clockwork Orange style, watching Lamina scenes on a loop until they just will never want to watch the show again. Because this is, like... For all the people who are like, we need more models, we need more actors, we need more people who have no clue what they're doing out there. Like, yeah, sometimes it works, but most of the time you get Lamina.
Nick is like truly one of the dullest people I have ever seen on the show. The instant I look away from him, I cannot conjure up his image in my mind's eye. Like, it is, I could not pick him out of a crowd. And it is just, Survivor used to cast some really boring people. Like, I think, you know, they did, like, some really boring people. Like, that was part because they would have spots in the cast. Okay, here's, like, just the generic dude. And we don't do that anymore. And that's nice that we, like, actually, there's an effort to cast people with interesting stories. And how you feel about the way the show presents them with the flashbacks, whatever. Mm-hmm. That's another discussion. But, like, people who, like, speak about old school Survivor casting, like, it was perfect and all these gems. It's like, who the fuck is Nick?
Well, and you know what? Like, if you want to say, like, right now, like, Survivor should cast more hot people.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know what? I get it.
Yeah.
Everybody likes looking at hot people. It's a reality show. I do think that the New Era casts hot people. I'm biased, obviously, but I do think that there's a lot of hot people in there. But I understand that criticism. And if you want to see hot people on your reality TV show, all for it. Like, you know, that is a fair opinion to have. The people who are like, Survivor needs more people who just are models and just want to be on it for, like, either, like, just want to be on it for, like, influence or just want to be on it for exposure. And also Survivor needs more people who have no clue what they're doing and don't care about the game. Like, that's how you get more Nicks.
Yeah.
And that's how you get just more, like, Lamina. Mm-hmm. As a whole, and just like totally dull groups of people that bring nothing and have no chemistry together and provide what you call kind of funny television.
And I am being generous, but like I will say, like, the comedy of Sally just instantly losing the spear is the one fun thing that happens at Lamina this episode, because she's just like, I'll give it a go, and then it just... And then Terry and Dan can't even hide their dad disgust that they can't have, like, their little fishing spear, which it does suck. I just can't imagine how shitty Sally felt, but it's funny.
Yeah, I mean, I think Sally played this moment, if we're going to go into the gameplay of Sally, Sally played this moment really poorly, because, like, obviously, like, you know, bad move to lose the spear, but once you've lost the spear, I think you really need to go into it with just pure, like, the look of devastation. Like, you need to be working up your fake tears. You need to, like, get off that boat. You need to, like, just get off that boat, walk away, and just instantly disappear into the woods and pretend to be having, like, a breakdown. Because then, you know, Terry and Dan's, like, their disappointed father is going to turn into, like, concerned father. Like, we're not mad at you, like... And they're going to feel bad. Like, they're going to think, like, wow, even though she screwed up, like, like she really knows that she screwed up and we're going to be the bigger men here and forgive her, versus the way she presented it was like, you guys are going to be so mad at me. And like, they actually
I lost the dang spear.
Like, bad disappointment, as you put it.
Yeah. No, she's just like, she's like, all right, I'm from Minnesota. I'm just going to Minnesota this. Just be like, oh, geez, I lost the spear. Like, and that just doesn't
play
so well.
It was so deep. I tried. It didn't work. I tried to get it. It didn't work.
She didn't try very hard. Sally Schumann, if you're listening to this, I'm sorry. I know you're a big, I'm sure you're very involved in Survivor.
Oh, no, Sally's involved. She's going to listen to them.
I'll get her for the finale episode.
Oh, yeah, that would be like, you know, that's,
recap the whole scene. Biggest get. That'll be his biggest getting,
like,
Eliza.
Yeah, talking. Well, so I was going to say talking for T-Bird, but then you said Eliza. So I don't know why.
Oh, yeah, that's a sensitive subject right now.
The thing that we missed that I do want to go back to is Shane saying, if you screw me, I'll kill you.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Which is another thing that I think the new era is missing. I think that should be okay.
More death threats?
I think that innocent death, like some, we should have some death threats on Survivor. It's called Survivor.
You need something to survive.
No, you know what my favorite, like, death threat related final words is in All Stars when Rudy's voted out. Final words are like, well, you know, these guys, they probably are going to regret this decision. I got a couple of army guys who aren't going to be too happy when he finds out what happens.
I totally forgot about that one.
It's a classic.
Iconic. Rudy's,
you know.
He's Rudy.
Gays for Rudy.
Gays for... he would use a different
original
word. I'll say it. He would say queers for Rudy.
Yeah, I'm sure. I wonder what his reaction would... I don't know,
yeah. Rudy, may you rest in peace, the gays. I will say it. Oh, God. So, yeah, Sally loses a spear. That's everything. That's literally everything,
you know,
that happens.
Even then, like, we say that, like, Terry and Dan are, like, upset at her. But it's not even, like, that entertaining. It's kind of Terry being like, well, I'm annoyed. And that's the Lamina content.
They just kind of, like, pout a bit. And, like, oh, Terry's like, I can't have fish tonight. Like, and that's it. That's curtains on Lamina for now.
Would you say, is Lamina the worst tribe of all time? I know that's, like, a very hot, like, a very strong stance.
I would need to sit down and think more about, like, who the other candidates are. Mm-hmm. They're definitely, like, certainly towards the very bottom. I think part of what Lamina has going against it is just also that Kasaya is so interesting. Yeah. It's just so jarring. And so, like, I wonder on, like, a normal season of Survivor where, like, it's just not all of the... where, like, the other tribe is, like, on a closer playing field. Mm-hmm. It's just because it's, like, for me, it's just, like, every minute we spend on Lamina, I'm like, I wish we were with Kasaya. So I would need to think a little more on, like, who do you have a candidate for, like, who another bad tribe would be?
Lamina, the thing that stands out for me with Lamina is that I cannot tell you a single scene at Lamina. I can't tell you a moment they have. And almost every tribe, I can tell you at least a moment.
The other ones
that stand out to me as, like, just... generally boring is Beauty on Cagayan as, like, just a tribe that's the clear least interesting of the three. I also would say that, like, I think it was it Coyopa on San Juan del Sur?
If this is choppy, my microphone, I'm doing something. I'm, like, unplugging my microphone and making the recording go weird. So if you can tell, like, we've had to edit. Whoops. We were talking about San Juan del Sur.
Haven't missed anything. Lamina, I just think Lamina is so boring. And, like, kind of drags the season down for me to some degree, at least in the pre-merge, because it really is, like, you know, like, I guess it's just like a grass is greener situation where, like, you've just got this amazing tribe on one side. Actually, it's not a grass is always greener. And you look over the sea and you see, like, you know, just a wasteland. Again, no offense, Sally.
Yeah, Sally, we know you're listening. We're very sorry. I'll be reading your letters of complaint that you frequently send me about the podcast every time there's something you disagree with. You don't need to call your lawyer. We'll get it sorted out.
Sally, you did so much better than me on Survivor.
This is true. This is factual. Already, we don't even know where Sally places, and we already know you've done better than Zach.
There's a non-zero chance that she does better than every, makes it more days than every single winner in the new era.
Exactly. And Zach, you have already done better than me because you have succeeded in not getting ghosted by casting. So you've beaten some of us.
There's always time.
Yes, it's always time.
Get ghosted by casting.
I'm just being self-deprecating. It's part of the experience. So this immunity challenge, I just want to say, I was hoping the zombie head would be bigger. Jeff was like, giant zombie head. And I get that the zombie is giant, but I think the head wasn't giant enough. Where do you fall on this issue of the giant zombie head? Was it giant enough?
I didn't stand out and be like, that's too small of a zombie head. I thought it was okay. What made me think more so was like a zombie-themed season of Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Like full on go into like the apocalypse. Like, is there something there? I mean,
Jeff, if there's something there, he'll find it. I mean, we just did like a medieval season.
And I loved that. And I thought that was one of the most interesting parts of 44. And I wish they would lean into that more in 44. I wish they brought back the weapons challenge. I wish that like the advantages or whatever were themed to like the medieval stuff. Or they had a new twist that was like based on the medieval whatever. If they're going to stay in Fiji, I love these like, anything that can make 44 feel different from 43 and different from 42. And the medieval stuff was actually one of the big things. It was the most clearly defined theme of the new era thus far. And that's why I want 46 or 47 to be zombies.
And seriously, I definitely like really agree about the like leaning into some more like at least aesthetic themes in this new seasons. Because it's like if we're going to do numbers and we're just going to stay in Fiji and not do like casting twists and tribe divisions twists. Like the very least we can do is like, okay, this is a season we're going to lean into this aesthetic a little more. So yeah, they have to transport the zombie head from the ocean to the beach. This is really classic Survivor. They used to do lots of stuff with anchors and hitching posts. I feel like that was always like in the old school seasons.
Mm-hmm.
It's not particularly exciting. It's just, Lamina just bests Kasaya. There's no big like blunder or anything. It's just they just happen to win.
Yeah, although I will say that watching so many new school seasons is fun to watch something that's not just the same set pieces.
Yes.
Like have like this one with like plugging the holes on the boat. We haven't seen that in forever. It's just like how Last Gasp was so exciting to see until they brought it back for 44 immediately. And I was like, wait, Last Gasp is boring now. Like now we've done it twice in a row. Like Bring back the auction, then don't do it for 5 seasons. Bring back the one with the giant snake, and then don't do it for like 10 seasons. You know, like so this is something that like now if they brought back, I'd be like, oh wow, what a great throwback.
No, everyone would be excited if they brought back like a classic. They do a lot more stuff with like the boats and like the anchors and stuff. Like you can do these multi-stage challenges, but change it up a bit.
Yeah, but also constantly make new stuff as well, because you can't. That's where the show dies, is where it's like just all in the nostalgia. Like, and I love it sometimes, but like they also constantly do need to be making new challenges and whatever, which the show's not great at.
No, we prefer to just balance and hold balls now.
I couldn't help but think about Jonathan, though, as it was like the whole pulling the boat and how different my life would be if he was on my tribe.
If he could just pull that boat.
Literal cheat codes.
Cheat codes.
Yeah.
So yeah, Lamina wins. Think that means we don't have to see Lamina the rest of the episode. It means we get an
interview. He was great here, like with his freak out after.
My God. Yeah, he is instantly like, I'm done. This is the stupidest thing I've ever done. I miss my son. Vote me out. And Courtney is so, so mad. I like forgot how like angry Courtney gets about this. Like she's like, dude, what the fuck? Like you're letting us down. And I understand why she's mad, but it's like instant. Okay, here's our first Kasaya fight. Like, here we go. It's happening already.
Well, and if he had actually thrown in the towel there, it puts them in a really awkward spot.
Yeah.
They've already clearly isolated the other three with Bruce coming in.
Yeah, he would screw them.
Oh, yeah. Then it's a very easy, like, 3-3 with Bruce in the middle. And I don't know how Bruce is. I really couldn't tell you where Bruce goes. But I think there's a very likely world where he goes with what seems like the older group there.
I think he would. Yeah. I can't see a universe where he goes with Courtney and Danielle and Aris over them. Especially since he's coming in, would be coming in as like the last man entering and already older.
Mm-hmm. But I could also see Bruce being, by the way, like a challenge strength person.
Yeah, I could see that too, yeah.
So I think they would have had a shot, but it would have definitely, I think, been interesting.
Yeah, no.
I think he's more interesting with Shane.
Yes. Sorry, Melinda, you had to, you were like the most normal person on Kasaya, so you had to go.
Yeah. I'm sure she had something weird about her that we just never will know.
What are her anecdotes she was telling Courtney Courtney had to mention in the confessional? Yeah. So, yeah, Melinda's like, tells Bobby and Suri, and Suri's just like, let him quit. Like,
yeah, that's one of, that's a,
it's an incredible confessional.
That's a Suri quote that I've always remembered. Like, if someone wants to quit, let him quit. Like, I stand by that. Like, I agree.
Yeah, like, if someone doesn't want to be there, like, if they're genuinely, like, not doing well, like, first of all, on a human level, if they're not doing well, like, don't force them to stay. But Suri singing on the game level, like, cool, we all get a free pass. Like,
and also that's so insulting for like Suri and Melinda as like people who really want to be there.
Yeah,
to have like someone just like fully ready to throw in the towel, and the entire tribe rallying around that person being like, no, stay, please stay, we want you here, we'll get out one of the other ones.
I feel so bad for Melinda. This is brutal. Yeah. This is a really brutal way to go, because she had like such an easy way to stay. Mm-hmm. And Shane was begging to go, and Aris like gets him to stay, and I get why Aris wanted him to stay. I get why his alliance wanted him to stay, but on Aris going, this is so bad. I don't like him going to everyone and being like, Shane's staying, we're voting out Melinda or Suri. It's so bad to the point it pisses off Danielle and Courtney.
Yeah,
it's really like they're done being mad at Shane. Yeah. Like,
and I think in modern Survivor, we would have then seen, like, you know, with more, I'd say, like, savvy players, we would have then probably seen, like, Danielle, or maybe Suri and Melinda go to Danielle and Courtney and use that as an opportunity, a la, like, Tasha and Jatia going to Cass, like, when the person kind of, like, you know, was imparting their will like that. Or even, like, in Winners at War with, like, Boston Rob and, like, Adam and Ben and Sophie and Sarah.
Yeah.
Kind of like, people do not like when someone unilaterally makes a decision to let the opposing alliance know.
Yeah, it's just bad gameplay. And I was like, I knew the outcome of this episode, but I was really rooting for Danielle, because Danielle's clearly mad that the, like, she said her voting confessional is like, I did not want this. And she still, you know, votes for Melinda, but she's clearly really unhappy with the way this shook out. And that was a thought I had, was like, in a later season of Survivor, this Aris could go here, or Shane could go. Like, this is like Shane could go, or Aris could go.
It's a very easy script to flip in modern Survivor. Is like, I'm now mad at this person. I can make a big move. I also think this is where like the show, maybe the producers in the confessionals, like they're pushing the big moves.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this
totally
is a moment where they can kind of get like the brownie points of like, oh, it's episode two and I just made a big move flipping on my alliance to join the other people because I was mad at them. And this would be an all women's alliance. The women are constantly being targeted. Like, there was so much room to play here that just the era, I don't think, necessarily permitted it to.
No, exactly, because the focus is still on tribe strength and still on, well, we have this alliance, like, Danielle and Courtney were mad, but we are in alliance. We have agreed to be bound with Shane and Aris in the game, and it is too risky to flip on that. So you understand why they didn't, given the era they were playing in. But you're so right that in a different era, this would just go so differently.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Yeah.
This is one of those votes that is completely lost in the history of Survivor, other than maybe like the implication of like Suri almost goes home. But like, this is just one of the votes that happens. But I think that there was actually some maneuvering that definitely does not happen here.
Yeah. And it just, like all yeah all Danielle ends up doing is just saying I'm sorry Melinda, basically. That's kind of all she feels empowered to do in this situation because of the air she's playing and because she's in Alliance, and it's just kind of in a like it's just decided, like there's just like there's nothing Melinda and Ceri to an extent can do here. Ceri can just pray that it's not going to be her. And, you know, Ceri casts a vote in solidarity with Melinda. It is nice to see her vote with Melinda and vote Shane out because she's like, you know, I made a promise. But it's the tribal itself is not interesting because it's just kind of been decided at that point. Yeah. You know, there's Agreed. The tension of like, well, Shane still quit. We know he won't. But I feel bad for Melinda. This is like I always remembered this vote. You're right, this is what they does get a lot. It's a lost vote because it's just, you know, it's kind of like remembered as being like, okay, well, the last normal person leaves Kasaya. This is Melinda had to go so we could get the true Kasaya, which is yeah. Bruce. And that's how I always remember it. But it's just, you do see this, like, this could have gone so differently. And I do feel really bad for Melinda. She just had no room to play.
Yeah. That's kind of like the classic story with Survivor, right? Is who knows. You know, if Melinda, if they vote out Ceri and keep Melinda here, is Melinda now
the new Ceri?
Yeah, is Melinda now Ceri? Like, probably
she win the traitors.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't know traitor spoilers were allowed, but yeah,
sorry, we could talk about the traitors.
Thinking, like, yeah. our Quentin and Andy talking yeah. about how Melinda. Let me ask you this. This is something that's confusing me. All these reality stars are like, ugh. The one show I would never go back to reality TV, but the one show I would go back for is The Traitors. Why? Why would anyone?
Because they just get to
ever want
to get to hang out in a castle. They just get to hang out in a castle.
The Traitors is literally like the biggest game of like rags and riches. Where if you're a traitor, you are set. You are like getting all the screen time. You are gonna be like beloved. You're gonna be like. And then if you're a faithful, you're getting nothing.
Yeah.
Either you're going to be good at the game and you're going to be eliminated early, or you're going to be bad at the game and everyone's going to hate you.
Yeah.
And you're going to make it far.
Yeah, I've only watched US Traitors, so I don't know how like the other versions are. But yeah, it doesn't seem like, it seems like a real crapshoot. You just have to really go and just hope you get picked as a traitor. You have to imagine that, like, all those people, all the reality stars, when they don't get their shoulder tapped, are kind of like, well, fuck. Like, this, there goes my chance to have a big breakout.
Yeah, and the other versions, I watched the UK as well, and it is a similar thing of, like, if you're a good faithful, you're going to get chopped. Like, yeah. It's that simple. They're just going to, they're going to eliminate you. So, I think it's kind of a dumb show.
Another hot take.
Well, I thought UK was entertaining, and I loved how US ended, but I thought it was, like, other than the ending, it was amazing. Like, not just who won, which has already been spoiled, not just Ceri winning, but, like, the moment where she, like, reveals that, so good.
No, yeah, that season, if Ceri had not been a traitor, like, what would that season have been, you know? And they obviously knew who they had. Like, there was no way Ceri, I like couldn't believe people weren't thinking Ceri was going to be a traitor. It's like, they have Ceri on a reality TV show, of course they're going to do that.
That's also where, like, and here's maybe another hot take, like, here's another hot take, is the traitor season one Ceri's Redemption Island?
I kind of had that like question.
Was there like obviously Ceri's amazing. She played incredibly.
Oh yeah, she did.
Was so good, so much. But like, was there a little bit of like, hey, maybe we won't give her the best of the best to compete against?
Yeah.
And then the other faithfuls were like her friends. It was like Stephanie. It was like Rachel. Like, these are people who implicitly wanted to work with her and were not going to throw her name out there.
So you're claiming you are no longer anti-Ceri, but I see you spreading a Ceri conspiracy theory on this very podcast. Very interesting, Zach.
You know what? I get the real feeling that the people who listen to the Stanima podcast, the listeners of the Stanima podcast probably feel very similar to me and are also have it out for Ceri.
Yes.
Like, these are my people. This is the anti-Ceri squad.
Yeah, this is, we all hate Ceri here.
I'm going to be very well received, I think.
Every single episode, we're just going to say how much Ceri is overrated and how Yao Man was robbed. And
so robbed.
Yao Man was robbed. I would say Yao Man was robbed. I think.
I know. I can't believe that, like, we haven't gotten him back.
I know.
Time has passed.
Yeah. Well, Zach, do you have anything else to say about this vote before we wrap up, do our episode titles?
Yeah. I think that Shane's comment of, I don't care which one of you goes, whichever one of you stays will go next.
That's some great gameplay.
But then, like, you know, I think it's interesting. I think that's when people say they want more people who have no clue what they're doing, like, people like Shane make it work, you know? Like, that is a great moment.
No, I think there's something to be said about, like, I love that the new era casts so many super fans, because it is fun to see people who really want to play the game. But the downside of that is that everyone's playing it as a game of, like a game of chess. Not everyone. There, you know, we get the Carolyns who are, like, playing a great game, but playing their own game. But, like, when you watch these older seasons, you're watching just really people who watch the show and who might be fans of the show, but are playing, like, they aren't thinking of it as a game in the same way.
Yeah.
Think of it as an experience, and as Shane can't help but say that because he's Shane, because he's playing it, like, authentically to himself.
Maybe I'm just biased because my, like, Survivor experience was, like, 3 days of Roxroy.
Yeah.
I'm just like, we still have that in the new era. Don't worry.
Yeah.
Like, it's alive and well.
Yeah.
But I get what people say in the broader sense.
Yeah, for sure.
I guess my final comment is, I just think that Tribal Council, if we're talking about what's better in old school, I think Tribal Council is a million times better than...
Oh, absolutely.
Now. It's so much more entertaining. I find Tribal to be the worst part of the episode in new era, because I think that it's so much, like, Tribal Council in Panama and, like, in the older seasons is really just focused on, like, what's happening. Like, what's happening at your camp. Whereas Tribal Council nowadays is about Survivor and the legacy of Survivor and what it means to play Survivor and what this vote represents in Survivor. And I don't think that's what Tribal Council should be. I think that Tribal, like, that gets old when it's every episode.
Yes.
That's what the season 40 kickoff special was for.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Tribal Council should be like, all right, what happened at camp? Who do you think's the weakest member of your tribe?
Yeah.
Who do you trust the most? Like, ask those questions and force them to either, like, answer or, like, figure out a way to, like, maneuver it.
Like, I feel like we've gotten these moments, these glimpses in the new era of that, the way that can still happen. Like, in 44, like, Carolyn definitely brought that to some of the later Tribal Councils of her just, like, openly, like, her and Danny had, like, some very real, like, moments at Tribal Council. And, like, if Jeff would lean into those more.
You know what? You know what? Another thing that I think actually really hurts Tribal Council is the shot in the dark.
Yes.
I think that, one, there's the element of being more, like, forced to blindside people with the shot in the dark, because they're always going to have an opportunity to try and save themselves. And two, I think for the person that plays the shot in the dark, it actually stifles them from going all out, like, full tilt boogie, as Jeff would put it. Because, like, I know for me personally, I was, even though I was pretty sure I was going home that night, I was like, okay, but there's always going to be, like, a 17% chance that I stay. So I don't want to, like, blow up my game and then ruin my chances going forward. I know Claire, at the very least, said the exact same thing. We've talked about this. So I think that, like, and she actually did go pretty, like, her tribal was pretty entertaining, just in the fact that she was willing to, like, go for it and call people out. But I think that that's another thing beyond just the Jeff Probst of it all, that is making Tribal Council, like, not as interesting.
I would agree. And I think on a similar note, I mean, shot in the dark and just production has introduced almost too much uncertainty in terms of, like, all the advantages that could be out there and stuff to the point people play scared and the knowledge is power is the biggest example of this, of, like, the specter of knowledge is power, like, scaring people into not doing certain things or to, in some cases, do things they normally wouldn't do, like give away an idol.
Yeah.
I think that also hurts Tribal Council when you're just, like, constantly worried about all of these advantages and, like, thinking through the scenarios of, like, what could be play. Like, it removes the social, like, dynamics of Tribal Council, because then it just becomes, okay, who's going to pull something out?
Well, this was, I think we totally skipped over Bruce at Exile, which, like,
we did.
Which good, we didn't need to say that. But I do think that, like, the Exile idol, the fact that the idol was such a rare, cool thing that, like, you would track throughout the season of, like, who's going to find it, I really like that. And I don't think that you need to do that with idols, because I think that, like, I like having multiple idols in the game. I don't think you need to have six at once. But I think, like, once per tribe is good. And then when one gets played, like, rehiding it and, like, getting less as the season goes on. I like all that stuff. But I love when Survivor has, like, a season-long mystery, when it's, like, there's a hidden special advantage. Like, in New Era Survivor, you can still have that. You can still have, like, the journeys be, like, slowly... You know what it would almost be like? This is, like, kind of a ridiculous one. You know what the arcades, when there's that, like, machine that you have to, like, bring, like, the blade in and, like, snip, and that's how you win the iPod, is if you're the one who fully snips it.
Yeah.
You, like, win. Something like that on the journeys, where there's, like, some kind of advantage that you can, like, slowly get closer and closer and closer to getting, and make it, like, a great advantage, and have that be the one advantage of the season. I don't know. That stuff, as long as it, like, feels earned and it's not just, like, oh, I put my hand into a jar.
Yeah.
I'm fine with giving, like, an overpowered advantage if it's something that was truly earned by a player. I just don't like how it's random.
Well, do I have any last thoughts? Oh, I should. I always read the eliminated player's final words. So I'll read Melinda's, and then we will do our episode titles and do our plugs. Mm-hmm. So Melinda's final words were, I just found myself on the tribe that's like, hey, man, yo, dude, what's up? And that's just not me. It won't ever be me, nor do I think I want it to be me. So I just wish Suri luck, because I know she didn't want to go back there without me. It is just going to be hell, but I'm going to have a shower, I'm going to drink water, and I'm going to eat food. So Melinda, I hope you add some good food at Ponderosa. And I'm sorry you got so brutally robbed, but you had to leave for Bruce to join.
I hope she's doing well.
She's doing well. I hope her singing career is doing well. I believe she sings in, like, a club in like Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, I think. So I hope she's still doing that.
I'll send her the Facebook friend invite after this.
Yes, please do. Now, before we do plugs, we will pick our alternate episode titles. The poll is still open for the last one at the time of recording, but I won last week by choosing the title episode title, The Turtle is Mother. So episode one is now called The Turtle is Mother. Zach, I will always let my guests go first, so you can pick your episode title.
So mine, I thought this was just a very cool quote. This isn't necessarily funny, but I thought it was, like, a cool line. Also, this episode's title is so bad.
No, this one needs it. We need to punch this up.
So mine was from Shane in the opening minutes, which made this really easy for me. It was, this place breeds bad luck.
Ooh, okay, that's a good one.
I feel like, and if I can give my argument for it, it leans into, like, this was back when they were trying to, like, Exile was supposed to be this, like, spooky, like, horrible place. So I want to focus on Exile more. Like, I mean, it's in the title. It's Survivor Panama Exile Island. I also think it's beautiful for Shane, because, like, this whole episode is basically about how Shane wants to quit. And how he's, like, I feel like this whole episode is about Shane. So I think he should get.
Yeah, no, this is, like, emotional journey.
And I also think it just has, like, a general, like, Survivor feel to it. This place breeds bad luck.
That's crazy. That wasn't the episode title.
Oh my god, it's so much better than
Breakdown. It's so much better. Oh, fuck, how am I gonna top that?
Yeah, let's see.
Ooh, I didn't even write that one down. I wrote down some options in case you took one of mine, but I didn't even write that one down. All right, I think you're going to win this poll, but I'm going to go with Suri, we have been invaded.
That one feels like sounds like a Survivor episode title.
Like, that's why I picked it. Yeah, like, it could be a Survivor episode title, but I do think, I'm probably going to vote for yours in the poll. Not to sway the polls, people vote how you want, but I do think that is an excellent episode title.
I'm also going to vote for mine.
Yes, you should.
Yours sounds like kind of like how, like, the Survivor finales, like, a lot of them are just, like, million-dollar moment.
Yeah.
I am kind of gonna, like, win.
It all comes down to this. I think that was one final finale title. Anyway, yes, people vote on it, and we'll see who wins. So, Zach, before we head out, where can people find you? Is there anything in general you would like to plug, not related to you, any causes, whatever? Just plug whatever you want.
Yeah, I don't really have anything to plug. You can follow me on anywhere. But no, thank you for having me.
Of course, thank you for coming. My plugs, I'll do them quickly. You can follow me on Twitter at The Extine Files and on Instagram at The Extine Files. You can read my writing on Inside Survivor. We're in the off season, but I will be writing over like a season overview of Survivor Quebec if you're interested to hear about how that went and you don't speak French or don't want to read subtitles. I will be doing that at some point. Listen to the Bitter Jurors podcast. I have my Revolutionary Girl Utena podcast, the Shadow Play Gays, gay anime podcast. We'll be doing some stuff later this summer. And then if you like Utena, me and my friend Audrey are currently playing through the Utena Sega Saturn dating sim from the 90s. We beat the game, but we're going to do one more run through where we try to get the worst ending possible. So if you're into that, it's going to be if you follow the Shadow Play Gaze, and you can see that. So yeah, that's everything for me. Zach, thank you so much again. I knew this was going to be a blast, but I really appreciate you coming in with like a theme for this episode of like, do the comparisons between old and new school. That was really fun. And I appreciated that and your enthusiasm and like really being down to dig into it.
No, of course. I found, for me, that was what I was the most interested in as I'm watching this episode. That
yeah.
In any other context other than for you, I would have never in a million years watched this episode again in my life.
Well, thank you for watching this episode again for me. And we will be back next week. Well, I will be back next week with another guest, maybe two guests. I haven't confirmed if that's happening, but there will be at least a guest. Talk about episode 3 of Survivor Panama. I don't have the episode title ahead in front of me. So whatever episode 3 is called. Oh, it's Crazy Fight Snake Dinners. Be back for Crazy Fight Snake Dinners next week. Thank you again, Zach, and everyone. Have a great week. Goodbye.